Please join me in welcoming Jim Houghton.
Thank you, Mary Fran, and thank you, everyone. And should I even ask if this works?
It should now.
You sure? Yeah, I can probably go back there and fix it.
Yes.
Sorry. Well, thank you all. It's nice to be here today, and I appreciate the time on stage. I'll tell you right now that I've got about 20 minutes, probably less now, as I see the clock ticking down, and a lot of information. I am absolutely not going to read slides to you. As a matter of fact, I think most of my presentation is going to be intended to challenge you a little bit, give you a couple of data points and see what conclusions you draw from it, and hopefully ask you some questions that will make you think about what you do, about what your organizations do in order to properly support your business, especially given the confluence of events that are kind of taking place in IT today. So without further ado, this one. Maybe. There we go. Okay, I probably just clicked it too much. Okay, so very much in line with what Mary Fran was just saying. Alignment is a dirty word to me. I did start my career somewhere in that time horizon that I care not to specify anymore, especially after recently celebrating my birthday. But alignment is sort of a fool's errand. If you're trying to align, that means you're always catching up to something, as opposed to trying to, you know, as we look through the paradigm shifts over the years, either be convergent or, better yet, as Mary Fran was just saying, accelerate. I think the opportunities that we have in the industry right now, personally, and hopefully many of you share this as well, I will admit to being a bit of a geek, I love it. I've always, no matter what point in my career, I've always kind of asked the questions like, why are we doing this? Does this actually make a difference? Spending time in front of customers is the best way to understand whether the things that you're doing, you know, connecting the widgets in the back office, actually make a difference. So what I would suggest is that as you start to look at all of the, frankly, mind-boggling technology disruptions that we're experiencing right now, whether it's, you know, cloud, social media, et cetera, that we'll go through, and then the concurrent disruptions on the industry front, you have an opportunity to think about what those things are doing to your particular businesses. I'll pick on a couple of them here. Personal anecdotes. Hey, I have four children. My oldest is 15, and God, self-driving cars can't come fast enough. but the other day, actually, the news just yesterday, Apple is going to try a peer-to-peer payment system. How disruptive is that going to be for the financial services industry? There's so many different fronts, no matter where you turn, even education. My father's a professor at a college. What do you think massive online open courses is going to do long-term to these institutions? And honestly, I have opinions. I won't even pretend to know the answer. The question that you have to ask yourself, if you look at this list and think about the things that you do today, where are you touching some of those technologies? Where is it going to drive your business? And it's really important, and actually this maybe dovetails a little bit with what Neeraj was saying. You need to ask yourself, what does it do now? Or, you know, the example of you know, the gas station of the future, maybe not now, but 3 years from now, 5 years from now. What's the time horizon? And given that, what's the appropriate level of investment for your organization, for your people in driving this? Is it truly going to change the industry? If it is, then you can take an Apple-centric approach and say, I'm going to kind of bend the consumer to my will and shake everything up. But if you don't think that's the case, again, adopt the minimum viable product approach and see where you can go. So, as technologists, we are always stuck in this conundrum. You know, Mary Fran pointed it out, I think Neeraj pointed it out, nobody ever thanks you, things are running. I started my career a long time ago working for phone companies. Guess what? When you pick up the telephone and there's dial tone there, nobody breathes the sigh of relief, except for maybe the guy that runs the telecom system. But if it's not there, wow, the phone calls come really, really, really quickly. You just take it for granted. Keeping the lights on is a thankless exercise that we're all required to do, but it's table stakes. If all you do is keep the lights on, guess what? You're not particularly valuable to your organization because there's vendors out there, and you know, I work for one of them, that can probably do the same thing you're doing for less. What you really need to do is think about how you can take opportunities to engage on the front end with your business constituents, with the actual customers in the field, and use opportunities that are funded, that are driven by, you know, whatever advancements make sense for your customers, as ways to get yourself out of that, you know, keep the lights on in the data center approach that unfortunately many of ourselves are trapped in. If you're a football fan, you'll recognize that quote at the bottom. That's a really, really important thought that I've embraced for a very long time. If you're not getting any better, you're basically getting worse. The IT industry is standing still. Your competitors Your competitors are not standing still. You need to always be thinking, what can I do better? What can I do differently? What can I stop doing? You know, one of Drucker's favorite comments. Really, really important for IT people. He didn't think about it from that perspective when he said those words, but there are 1,000 things I could spend my time on, and it's probably the same for you. So what 990 am I not going to do today in order to make a difference? So, to the survey. The first thing I'll lead off with is, this is an annual survey that CSC runs. At this point in the year, we're almost a year behind in the data, so apologies, but we haven't actually conducted the 2015-16 survey yet. So maybe a little bit dated in the information, but as I share some of the highlights here, perhaps you'll recognize and appreciate some of them. The one thing I'll say is that if you look at the demographics, and honestly, the only purpose of having the slide up here is to assure you that it probably does represent your organization. There's a lot of people. There's almost 600 respondents from 23 countries, Europe, Middle East, Asia, certainly the Americas was well represented. And the average firm that responded to it had almost 700 IT employees. So generally larger firms, but it should be statistically valid. Let's leave it at that. More of the slides on things I won't talk about. So. Sorry, that was just the obligatory, there's data here. By the way, I'd be remiss if you're actually interested in the full report, it's available online. We can get you the information. Please stop by the booth and happy to give you an electronic version versus weighing down your briefcases. One of the first observations coming from this, which honestly surprised me, when you're talking to IT executives around the world, cybersecurity was their number one priority. By a fairly wide margin, 12 points. So definitely significant. If you go down the list, app modernization, big data, mobility, private cloud, hybrid cloud, we'll talk more about those things. But for me personally, I was a bit surprised. And when I say that, thinking about what was going on a year ago, the Sony hack from possibly North Korea, or many a variety of things. Fast forward to this spring and the Office of Personnel Management and all these really, really unfortunate and prominent hacking events. Yeah. But the thing that I'll ask you, just a show of hands quickly, how many of you think an initiative around cybersecurity helps your firm do something better for your customers? Wow, that's a higher number than I would have thought. So when we're talking about it, and that was actually one of the survey questions, there is a 16% of the population believes that cybersecurity has a negative impact on innovation. What I would ask you, and personally, I work for a company that does some very, very interesting leading edge cybersecurity things, both offensive and defensive, unless you're RSA or another company that does this for a living, how does cybersecurity actually move your business forward? How does it make your company money? How does it do something? Unfortunately, it is something we have to do, but to me, it generally falls into the keep the lights on category, because nobody's gonna thank you for not having a hack, but yeah, you probably will get fired if you don't prevent that. So things to think about as you talk through it. There's some different industry statistics here, but I'm not gonna spend too much time on it because I'll run out of time. Come on. There we go. So number two on the list was cloud. I'm standing up here on stage publicly admitting, and I guess wishful thinking on my part, that we would have stopped using the term cloud in the industry about 5 years ago. It's overused. Yeah, I know. I give up. I'm definitely not a marketing person. The cloud, next generation hosting, take your pick of things that you want to talk about. It's a management model. It's not necessarily a technology. There's a raft of technologies that are involved in driving it. I could speak for a long time because I've spent more than a dozen years of my career in what we call cloud right now. It's great, does wonderful things for your business. The best thing I can say about the statistics here is we seem to have reached a tipping point where even some of the most conservative organizations are 50% on board. So please, let's hope it's maybe 2 years that we stop talking about cloud and start having some new buzzwords to throw around and get annoyed about. Again, cloud is good. Cloud does wonderful things to make your IT operation work more efficiently and possibly even make your business operate more efficiently. But just standing up a cloud platform, a private cloud, a public cloud, whatever, by itself doesn't really do anything. You have to have something running on a cloud that does something for your business. So keep that in mind as you think about initiatives around this. By itself, I'll go on record, cloud is largely an IT efficiency play. And therefore, it really isn't moving your business necessarily forward. It's giving you money maybe freed up to do other things. But again, think about these initiatives in the light of the business outcome that it will drive for your company. App modernization. This is one, and I apologize for the color scheme if it's tough to see in the back of the room. I was a little surprised when I saw this numbers too. Europe at 80%, 73% I think with Asia Pac, and 55% for North America named this as the third highest priority for IT spending initiatives. Two ways to interpret this data. One is that maybe this is a point in time, and maybe the U.S. already went through a cycle of revamping, modernizing their applications. Another way to look at this, and again, I'm going to keep being a little bit provocative here. What is the modernization initiative actually doing for you? Are you just moving the same darn applications, replatforming it from Windows 2003 to something current? If so, then you're probably annoying the heck out of the people that run your application development organizations and really not doing anything consequential. Or are you taking this as an opportunity to really drive new applications, I'll shortcut to some other things that we're talking about, mobile enabling, new capabilities for your business consumers in order to make those applications that run your business more accessible. So as you embark on app modernization initiatives, and we all have to do them, unless you're truly a startup here, everyone has some level of legacy they have to deal with. Think about it. Think about what you're doing. Think about how you prosecute those opportunities. Think about where you can take advantage of business initiatives to help you fix app modernization problems, i.e., look at your estate, look at your portfolio, find places where the business is already intending to do some level of investment, and use those as the places to start with your modernization initiatives. Then all of a sudden you're an enabler, you're good friends, and hopefully you're actually accelerating the business people as opposed to acting more like you're doing a data center move and thou shalt have their application down on Friday and on Monday, and all they're going to know is that you caused downtime. Different sort of approach in how you think about a key initiative, but maybe not strategic, again, depending on how you act on it. Now mobility starts to get interesting. There's some people that'll stand up and shout and say, mobile, 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 everything has to be mobile. If it's not no mobile, you're wasting your money. I'm not quite there yet, but if you look at the proliferation of wireless devices everywhere, then yeah, I suppose it's hard to argue that there is a future for hardwired applications and devices outside of some more specialized domains. It does obviously depend on what you're doing. But mobile is a key factor. This is another great place where CIOs, CTOs, wherever you are in your organization, may be able to grab the reins a little bit. And instead of, as I've seen in some organizations, letting a business unit go off and experiment on their own, help corral that innovation. Help them do it better. Help them stay within cybersecurity guardrails. Accelerate it. Own the program. Don't be an obstacle. Be an enabler here. And in doing so, you can present IT in a different light and again, help bring your company forward in order to achieve whatever that business outcome that's important to you. Whole nother sidebar that we can have, but we'll run out of time around demographics of your workforce as your customers and things like that and expectations of users. There's a lot of interesting survey data in this particular point. If you're so inclined. Big data. Big data is another great one. Everyone says it. It's almost as obnoxious a term as cloud. I know this is probably a heavy oil and gas room. I started working in grid computing around 2000, working for another organization. And if you ask me, what was done back then, parallel distributed computing, large data sets that you're applying analytics to, kind of sounds like this new buzzword that we called big data a few years ago. Same stuff. You guys know it. You understand it. The same discussion is very, very relevant here. If you're a CIO and you think your job is to stand up a Hadoop cluster and say, here you go, well, you've kept the lights on, but have you actually made a difference? I know of CIOs that have hired quant experts on their teams in order to actually drive some of the mathematical science into it. They own them in the IT organization as opposed to the business organization. That's a very, very different approach. That's leading. That's actually saying, okay, not only can I stand up an environment that will probably meet any of your analytic needs, but I'm actually going to help you develop the algorithms. All I need is a subject matter expert, a business analyst type, who can tell me what are the key things you care about. Different approaches. It's all in that macro category of something called big data, but very important in terms of how you position yourself as a leader in the organization. Okay, on. There we go. So trends. Couple of things here that are fairly interesting. The top trends, obviously, starting from the bottom here, mobile, web scale IT, enterprise asset management. EAM, hopefully for everyone, many people in this room in the oil and gas business, very, very important, especially given some of the unfortunate mishaps that have happened over the years. Can't say enough. I've seen some very interesting things. My company is driving some interesting initiatives around, I'll say virtual reality, but augmented reality around how you can help technicians in the field doing everything from asset inventories and inspections and things like that. There's some really, really important things that we have to do, not just as a community, but frankly as a nation, in order to make sure that a lot of our aging infrastructure is kept up to specs. Some of these things that you look on the list, IoT, connected products, mobile to mobile integration, smart apps, many of these things start to mesh. It's hard to call them out as individual initiatives. How can you do something useful with IoT without having mobile, without having sensors, without having big data, maybe without having a cloud platform? There's so many of these things that intersect with each other. So this hopefully gives you just some thoughts about what your peers are, but it's certainly not the end-all be-all. Now, here's where I'm going to really be a little bit provocative. Budget constraints is listed as far and away the number one obstacle to innovation in the workforce. How many business users get to complain? So think about guys, executives, not just guys, could be female executives, that run lines of business for your organization that are out in front of customers, that get to whine to the CEO as, I'm sorry, I couldn't do that because you didn't give me any money to do that. That's a real short career path. I encourage you all as IT executives to think of yourself as business executives. Why can't you put together a business case with minimal viable product, quick acceleration? How can I test out an idea that will do something in order to move the business forward? And guess what? If you do a series of those projects, you don't. GE is a phenomenal example of what they've done at a very, very large scale. But you don't have to have that sort of corporate program. Those sort of corporate programs start with a couple of guys in a division saying, I'm going to do this. All I need is $500,000. That's slush money for some large organizations in order to go test out some ideas that can bring the business forward. I personally, I've spent part of my career working on the other side of the fence in some financial institutions. I built a four-person, $500,000 program into a $100 million transformation initiative. And it wasn't because I went and said, I need $100 million. It was because I'm going to do this. And all of a sudden, you get a lot more pull than push. And you get pulled into different parts of the organization because you're helping them, frankly, make money. So think about it differently. Finding staff, difficult. Deploying technology to facilitate innovation. My personal bias there is if you're counting on technology to enable innovation, you got a problem. It's really more about executive sponsorship, but I'm going to run out of time, so I'm not going to belabor that one. So you have a choice. What do you think your enterprise organization, what do you think you will be doing as part of your career in terms of providing a service or a role in your organization? Are you going to be a promoter? Are you going to be a provider? Are you going to be a partner? Or are you really going to be a peer? I obviously encourage you, because every 2x2, you always want to be upper right there. But it's not a one-size-fits-all. There are parts of your IT organization where you are just a provider. And by the way, those are opportunities where you should think about potentially bringing in other providers, because it's probably not a strategic thing. But you should absolutely take a step back, take a deep breath, and say, what can I do with my organization in order to provide the most value? Where can I spend my time? Where can I deploy my best people in order to have that sort of peer relationship? And then sometimes be the promoter, be the one pulling them forward. Think about that. The last slide I'll leave you with, is that this whole notion of digital leadership, and we talk about it a lot, and I'm already in the countdown here, so I'll be quick. There's four key capabilities that you need to be successful, and you need to ask yourself, do I have the right talent? Do I have the right talent in my key leaders? If not, what do I need to do to get it there? First of all, engaged executives. That's us. That's also your peers. The other business peers have to be a part of this equation. If they're not part of this equation, then either A, they're not paying attention, or B, they're probably doing something that's sort of stepping on your toes and your turf already anyway, so much better to converge efforts. Outside in. What I mean by saying outside in is think about the customer. And the customer is not your business user, by the way. The customer is the person that pays money in order to keep your company afloat. What does the customer care about? And start from that end, not from, how can I make XYZ process more efficient, which is unfortunately, again, is sort of the natural inclination of many of us in the room. Ecosystem co-creation, that was one of the great things Niraj touched on. What we mean by that is don't have the arrogant belief that you have the best ideas in the world and you can build anything and everyone will use it. Work with your partners, work with your customers. Think about how you can solicit information, solicit input, active participation in projects where potentially it's even with a competitor, but it's on a shared interest that it makes sense to do that sort of thing. And the last thing is this notion of double deep employees. It's very, very important. It's something I drive into all of my teams. You have to have a deep understanding, not only of technology, but of the business. What are you doing? If you can't connect the dots between the two of those things, your value is limited. So think about that. Think about how you can do rotational programs with your business constituents. Think about how perhaps you can, drive some additional input from external sources, even if it's an educational institution that you bring in to help teach your people more, your IT people, more about the business that they operate in. Any opportunities that you have to broaden the horizon will make your employees better and make them much more adept at spotting those opportunities as new technologies evolve. And with that, I'll be quiet. Love to talk to you later, but I know I'm out of time. So thank you.